I've been producing media for more than 2 decades, and now I want to help you start your career. By talking with professional industry insiders, we'll explore the hundreds of jobs in the film and video world. I'm Brent Altomare, and welcome to the Groovy Guide to Careers in Filmmaking. So this week on the Groovy Guide to Careers in Filmmaking, we are talking with Tim McMorris, who is an accomplished composer, performer, musician for both commercial work and sort of the less commercial artistic side. And I have to say, Tim, I'm actually really excited to get to talk with you because we have used quite a bit of your royalty-free music in our business over here. So welcome to the podcast, Tim.
Thanks, Brent. Good morning, and I appreciate you guys using my music. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's actually really funny. My director of photography, when I mentioned that we were going to be talking with you, he literally actually jumped out of his seat, and he's like, the guy from Audio Jungle, that guy, that's who you're talking to? I'm like, yeah, that's who we're talking to. So, right. and so I actually kind of want to start our conversation there because. You know, music is traditionally a very difficult business to get into.
Yes.
And so I think one of the things you've done that's really interesting is this sort of this royalty-free Audio Jungle way. So why don't we start by talking about what is royalty-free music and why, how did you get started doing it and why did you choose to go that route?
Right. Okay, well, first, starting with royalty-free music. Royalty-free music basically is a term that refers to production music that has no additional fees to pay mm-hmm. once the music has been licensed for a project.
Right.
So that project can be anything from an indie film to a major motion picture even. And basically, a license is purchased. And depending on the company selling it, it can either be used in a single application or multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And so since it has no additional license payments after that, it's classed as royalty-free. And traditionally, if you wanted to license music, say for a project or a film, you'd need two things. You would need what's called a synchronization license,
mm-hmm.
which would be from a publisher who usually represents the copyright holder of a piece of music.
Mm-hmm.
And you would need what's called a master use license, mm-hmm. which is typically owned by a record company. And that actually is the right to use the actual studio sound recording.
Mm-hmm.
So royalty-free music, it generally tends to be composed and produced or recorded by the same person. However, it makes the licensing process basically much more simplified,
right.
and the costs are a lot lower. The main problem in the past has really been the technology was not there for artists who wrote their own material to step into the production realm as well.
Right.
But in the last 15 years, basically, with technology, we've really seen a large shift where there are many more one-man or one-woman shows basically controlling all the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And so with those advances in technology, the production values have also exponentially increased as well.
Right.
And so royalty-free music many times is kind of associated, in the past at least, with kind of poor production value.
Yeah, that canned corporate sound.
Exactly. But today that just isn't the case. And you have royalty-free music that could be and is being used in major campaigns all across the world, commercially, all the way up to major motion pictures.
Yeah, and...
And
part of the reason why it's used quite a bit is because the royalty free, not only does it tend to be easier to deal with the licensing, but it also tends to be less expensive, right?
Yes, absolutely. The thing is with royalty free music, like I said, usually it's a one woman or one man show.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it's really focused on royalty free music is really focused on empowering. Smaller level productions. It doesn't necessarily mean smaller level
right,
productions,
sure.
but it's really focused on powering those people who are up and coming
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the very elite in Hollywood.
Say. Right.
And so my own, story basically for turning to composing and producing royalty free music was kind of simply that basically I was, working as an artist, doing the best that I could as an artist, performing, gigging, playing with, different groups or individuals or bands. and things really weren't going anywhere for me. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had the opportunity searching the web one day when I stumbled across, you alluded to Audio Jungle mm-hmm. earlier, mm-hmm. and I stumbled across this website, audiojungle.net, and they were basically being the facilitators of the licensing of royalty-free music. So basically, you just had to sign up and submit your music, and if it was basically it met their criteria for professionalism, they would handle the licensing, and off you went.
Yeah.
So basically, I just saw it as, in the beginning, as another possible avenue for income.
Yep.
But since then, it has turned to so much more, and it has connected me with music supervisors and film industry professionals all over the world.
Yeah, and so that's interesting. So did sort of this royalty-free lead as a jumping-off point to get you? I noticed in your bio we talked about you know you've worked with Samuel Adams and Toyota and Adidas. Is that sort of the career path that you've taken? Is gigging royalty-free, had success there, got attention there, and moved on to these larger projects?
It's been an interesting dynamic of where my own personal career has gone, and it hasn't been easy choices.
Sure.
All the way along. I started out as an artist, and so that was kind of my main focus, and it was kind of initially difficult to pull away from that.
Yeah.
Then I made the shift kind of fully back onto the royalty-free side, but because of the exposure, like you mentioned, the Sam Adams campaign, for example, or mm-hmm. the Toyota Italy, or there was one in Nissan Europe to advertise a Delta Wing, or DirecTV, or there's all these, you know, large companies using the music. The exposure actually started to draw in, you know, fans.
Right, yeah.
And so what happened was this kind of, broke awake the artistic demand again. And so I found myself kind of, shifting back to the artist side a little bit more. And so where I stand today basically is the happy medium of kind of half the work I do is artist driven.
Mm-hmm.
It's released commercially. So, that music's on iTunes or Amazon MP3 or Spotify or whatever.
Yep.
And then the other half is either personally licensed through my website or through Audio Jungle.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of enjoying the best of both worlds. I've had offers from major record labels to sign record contracts, but at this point I've actually turned down every offer that I've received simply because I've worked so incredibly hard to get to where I am now. And that kind of traditional model, the way that I see things, is starting to die off. So kind of trying to be a little bit of a pioneer and take the unknown route,
yep.
But enjoying every moment of it.
Yeah. Well, and I have to say, something that's just kind of a side note about this. You talked about that you have this commercial side and this artistic side. And I think one of the things that has probably made you successful on the artistic or on the commercial side, especially, is that your stuff is really good. I mean, we used your project and you maybe have heard stories like this before, but we used On Top of the World for a client. And she said, where can I get that song? And she actually then went and bought it on Audio Jungle, and it's now part of her workout mix, she told me.
Right.
So I think something that's I guess where that leads to the question is obviously you have talent and skill. What other things have you brought to the table that you think have made you successful in this world?
Well, first of all, a lot of attempts or failures, really.
Yeah.
that's the honest truth.
Yeah.
For 10 plus years or more, it was really a lot of struggling. And I didn't go to school for music production mm-hmm. or for even learning a lot of the instruments or things like that. So a lot of it's been self-taught. So it's
yeah.
been kind of a hard, bumpy road, but those experiences have really, which were kind of once weaknesses, have become strengths. And I basically kind of work from the philosophy that if you can inspire your audience with the right music, that you will have won their undivided attention for the entire project.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that is kind of the core philosophy where a lot of my music is coming from, that even though you're genre hopping and stylistically things change, is that you're really trying to inspire your audience. So when I'm writing a piece, I'm really trying to think of the end use in mind and the different types of uses and really trying to reach out to their audience. And so inevitably, what's happened is unfortunately, some of the music that is exclusively being licensed, say, through Audio Jungle, you have just fans of the music wanting to try and download it, but it's not available. So it can create a bit of a problem there. So, you know, I honestly haven't found the perfect solution to make everything available to everyone.
Yeah.
But, you know, I try to split my time up, like I said previously. Yep.
Well, you've got one fan that at least that was willing to pay what the $20 to buy that one song. So you must be doing something
honestly,
right.
Honestly, that's not the first that has happened. I can't even tell you how many times. And so it's been astonishing that people, you know, we live in a world now where music has kind of been devalued largely,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people don't want to pay anything for music. And then you have these people coming out of nowhere paying license fees just to listen to it. So I'm truly, truly honored by those people who, you know, spend their hard-working money for that.
Yeah. So hang out with us for a couple of minutes if you could. We're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I want to talk more with you about what it's like to be an entrepreneur in the industry. Welcome back to the Groovy Guide to Careers in Filmmaking. So one of the things that I think is really interesting about specifically the royalty-free side is in order to have any level of success, you need to put a lot of content out there, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
I work from the ethic believing that quality will always trump quantity.
Uh-huh.
That being said, there is a significant amount of work you need to do, but it doesn't necessarily mean with a high volume of releases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I exclusively, concerning royalty-free work right now, am writing content for Audio Jungle, but they're not the only royalty-free site out there
sure.
by any means.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, first of all, it's, you know, if for an artist, say, that's really jumping into this and they kind of want to give it a try, there's different marketplaces online that they can sell with that have different rules, different audiences, different price points.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you kind of have to investigate, you know, where is a good starting spot for yourself. On Audio Jungle specifically, you know, my portfolio, it has currently today, I believe, 57 items,
mm-hmm.
which may seem like a high number, but that's over, say, 4 years.
Okay.
Where other artists, they have hundreds and hundreds, 300, 400, you know, plus, and they haven't really sold that many tracks.
Right.
And so there's a lot of things involved other than the music itself, really the promotion of your work, you know, how you interact with people online, how, you know, you there's so many different, how you are on social media. Do you have a website that's up? You know, how you're reaching out to people.
Mm-hmm.
So with my music, I really try to focus more on the production quality and the writing of the music itself over a quantity. And for me, that's paid off.
Yeah.
For other people, for other producers and composers, the complete opposite has actually paid off. They really have just tackled the quantity, and they're really putting out a lot of music, but maybe the production value isn't as high.
Right.
There's a market for that as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can kind of lean to both sides.
Yeah, exactly. And so how is it, how do you feel is it's different working with the royalty-free side versus working with licensed music? Do you have a preference? Is one harder than the other?
Well, when you're licensing music directly and you're working with a client, that's definitely more challenging for mm-hmm. the simple fact that you're making something tailor-made to a project.
Right.
And so sometimes, you know, there's different customers with different expectations. And sometimes you can have one client who comes in and they know exactly what they want and they just want you to do what they want. Or you can have another client who says, you know what, I just love your music. I want you to write a 2-minute piece that fits this spot or
right.
something like that.
Yeah.
And so, and then in between that, you know, you have, there's always artistic direction. So it can be frustrating sometimes when you might have a client who you have something that you might think works incredibly well for mm-hmm. the project, but they say, you know what, we don't like this at all. We want you to change direction. And you can have sometimes put in weeks worth of work and, you know, end up having to scrap that for that project to start all over. So it can definitely be more frustrating. Whereas the royalty-free music, now that my portfolio is selling and going, you know, snowballing, you really have the freedom just to basically kind of write whatever you feel like.
Yeah.
And there's kind of always a market out there for it, but the hard part can be connecting with that market. So
yeah,
there are pros and cons to both sides of it. Licensing individually will definitely bring a higher payout rate when you're working with companies directly because they're paying for exclusive services.
Right.
Whereas royalty-free music, they're just coming and buying something that's prepackaged. And that's another reason why the selling point is a lot lower, because basically it's being licensed to company A, B, and C at the same time. And because of that, it drives the cost down. For the bonus for them, they just have to pay a small fee and they can use the song.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So when you're licensing music and working custom for a company, you mentioned that you've turned down record deals. How do you handle the business side of when you're licensing and working directly with a client?
Right. When we're working directly with a client, we have a company, my wife and I just incorporated last year, a company called King's Crown Productions. And so when we're working directly with a client, we're negotiating some King's Crown. And basically how that works is there's a number of criteria that comes into play, whether it will be, you know, the amount of time that they're wanting to license the track for, or the duration, the complexity, do they want vocals or not, and all these things that come into play. And basically that side of things is handled through the company individually. Those licenses tend to be more complex,
right?
Just because of the nature of all the different things involved. Like I said before, where if it's the royalty free side, then Audio Jungle just takes care of that, and I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. So now, why did you make the decision to form your own company instead of going with a licensing agency? That seems like do you have a legal background or do you need one? I guess if somebody wanted to go that route, why did you make the decision to start your own company versus working with someone who's established?
Well, we've had offers there too, and the basic reason is that we basically have a vision for the music that we're making, and we just basically I'm not confident sometimes when you're joining another company that they necessarily have your vision in mind or your interest in mind, and unfortunately with the music industry, especially at the higher level. it really isn't about vision. It's a lot about money.
Right. Yeah.
And so we kind of felt that if we wanted to really start a company that represented how we saw things, we were kind of going to need to go from the ground up. And again, it is the harder route, but in the end, we believe we're creating something that's more tailor-made to what we're trying to do with the music.
Tim, you've crushed me. It's not all about the artistic integrity.
Yeah. And to answer your other question, we do have we have our lawyers as well.
Oh, great.
So on the legal side, we are shored up as well.
Good.
There was a time where for most of the time we didn't have a lawyer, but now it's just gotten to the complexity where it's impossible to not have a lawyer. So.
Yeah. Awesome. So tell me about the artistic side. So all of this stuff, obviously, you have a vision and it sounds like you're doing the kind of work that you want to do, but still it's commercial work. So I would say, hey, that feeds the belly. Tell me about the side of your business that's feeding your soul, and how is that going?
Right. Well, music, I've always been, as an artist, I've always been about music with a message. The message that music, lyrically especially, is conveying is extremely, extremely important to me. And I, myself, as an artist, I cross genres. And I don't know if the royalty free side kind of feeds that as well, because I'm writing for so many different genres already.
Sure.
But, I can have one release that's, in alternative rock. The next one's a pop song, then going to hip-hop, then to reggae, then, So I'm kind of all over the place sometimes. But lyrically-wise, I tend to tackle a lot of social injustices that, I believe that the world sees, or opportunities for change. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of the music is kind of focused on positive materials. Because in music culture these days, I really see a lack of that. A lot of the music really focuses on, what's wrong with our world,
right,
necessarily. But, I try to focus a little bit on, well, what's going right, and then what can we do to make it better for everyone? And so The music definitely goes, the artistic music definitely goes deeper than the royalty free stuff. But even over there, sometimes there's a need for that too. So sometimes you'll have a case where something was intended for just a release to iTunes, uh-huh. but ended up going to royalty free portfolio because there was a need for that. And so the other thing is that, though I have an exclusive account on Audio Jungle, I also have a non-exclusive account, meaning that the work that I upload there can be licensed, but it can also go to iTunes or Amazon mm-hmm. as well.
Yep.
So there are cases where you kind of have the best of both worlds, where you have fans that just want the music can download it, and then those who wish to license it can do that as well.
Yeah. And then, and so, so I mean, it really sounds like the two sides of your career really support each other, and that seems
right.
to kind of be like the best of both worlds that you've got going on.
Right, and that is really the case. It's hard to break away to you know, just when I look at just the one side now, it's kind of completed by the other half. They really truly do support each other. And the amazing thing about, you know, the film industry and things like that is, you have, you know, a song that's being licensed, and then it's what it is free advertisement.
Right.
Because, you know, they're using it in their project, they're giving it all that exposure, and then all of the fans of that project come and they want the song. And so it's worked as an amazing marketing tool where, you know, they're paying to use your music, and really they're paying to expose your song.
Right.
And so, you realize that powerful dynamic early on. If you're able to do both, it's an incredible combination.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time with us today, Tim. How can people find more about you, and where can they buy your music and all of that?
Right. Well, they can just go to timmcmorris.com. That's my personal site mm-hmm. there. It has links to both my work on iTunes and Amazon, and both my royalty-free portfolio as well. Or if they just wanted to go directly to that, they could go to audiojungle.net/user/Tim McMorris. And thank you, Brent, so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Tim. And I'm Brent Altomar, the owner and executive producer of Groovy Like a Movie. This has been the Groovy Guide to Careers in Filmmaking. If you have a comment on the show or have a career you'd like to learn more about, send us an email at podcast@groovylikeamovie.com.